Wizard there with I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day, which would be a nightmare if you think about it. In practical terms, it would just not be workable. Don't you think, Joe Cornish?
I agree. I think that's an awful song.
An awful song?
Yeah, I think that's an awful song.
Well, I don't agree. I think that's one of the most heartwarming, wonderful songs ever written.
I think it thrusts its hand into the chest of Christmas and rips its heart out.
Oh, my Lord.
Like that evil man in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
What kind of opening gambit is that for Just Past Nine on the 22nd of
Listeners
December?
Listeners like it.
2007.
It, you know, we're keeping it real. They know they're with people who won't kowtow to the playlist.
Well, one of them won't.
Yeah.
The other one likes it. Now, we're in a special shack, listeners, because it's our Christmas show.
Yeah. Every Christmas, Adam and I like to leave the studio. You all right?
Yeah. How many little cough?
Yeah, well, it's cold, isn't it?
It's freezing.
It's chilly. It might be a white Christmas this Christmas.
Ooh.
Yeah, the bookies are saying it could be.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are, the bookies.
Oh, I love the bookies.
And so we've left the Six Music Studio, and we've gone to a little shack in the middle of a field in the English countryside.
In the Trocadero.
In the Trocadero. And we're very cold, so are we going to light that fire?
Yeah, I've got some matches.
Come on, baby.
Here we go.
There we go.
Oh, dear.
Come on, mate.
Sorry.
Safety. There we go.
There we are. Oh, I burnt my shirt. I burnt my sleeve. My sleeve's on
fire.
Nice.
It smells nice. Here.
Hand burning.
Nice.
It's out now.
It's nice. I like the smell of burnt wool.
Oh,
good morning, listeners. Welcome to the Adam and Joe radio show here on BBC Six Music. It's Saturday, the 22nd of December. It's very nearly Christmas. Christmas in 3 days' time.
I'm just going to put some Christmas music on.
So, you know, by rights, everybody should be feeling really all cozy and cuddly and warm and lovely. There's no work on Monday. That's right, isn't it? Because Monday's like... Well, some people might have to go to work.
We're on holidays.
Holidays. Danish holiday.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some people might have to go to work on Monday, but they'll just be phoning it in. You know, they'll be in the office. They won't actually be doing any real work.
Yeah, it'll be their surgeons.
You'd have to be mad.
The surgeons will be phoning it in.
Exactly. Yeah, the ambulance drivers, they'll just be going at like 4 to 5 miles an hour.
Just do like, just a normal, just like a really one long stitch. That should be fine. That'll keep it together.
We've got great music coming up for you for the next 3 hours, obviously. We should remind you, though, it's a matter of transparency here at the BBC to declare that this is a pre-recorded show. So don't bother texting. You'll be wasting your finger power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, really.
Exactly, because if you did, and it was found out, oh my gosh.
If they texted and someone found out that they were texting?
Exactly.
What would happen?
We'd both be shot.
Why?
Because of the, because they feel so let down.
That's true.
Because they would have paid, how much for the text?
Hey,
they would have paid.
2008 is going to be a fresh slate for telly.
Yeah.
It's all about a telly, radio, the BBC. It's all about regaining trust, so, you know. Let's just be purely honest about everything.
Purply honest.
Purply. Well, let's be purply honest. We've got great music coming up for you in the next 25 hours, including some James Brown, some Interpol, you know, all that kind of business.
As well as our favourite Christmas tunes. Now, Joe and I like to wheel out more or less the same Christmas tunes every year. Everyone does, you know. There's only a small pool of Christmas tunes that
are any good.
Exactly.
Let's face
So we like to wheel them out. You'll be hearing all your favourites and maybe a couple that you haven't heard before in the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Doing a bit more.
This is going to be a kind of free-willing show. We're not doing our usual competitions and stuff like that.
No.
Instead, Adam and I have bought presents for each other.
And I've bought some lager.
Adam's got a can of beer.
That's a bit sleazy, isn't it? Because it's 9 in the morning.
Yeah, that's very
What do you think
sleazy.
About that? But it's holidays.
It's fine, man. I'm going to smoke some crack a bit later.
Are you?
Yeah. Is that all right?
Not really.
I'm not really going to do that, listeners.
Yeah,
are you? That's a joke.
What are you, Russell Brand? That's a joke too, okay? So don't bother writing in because we're not here.
So listen, before we get ourselves in any more trouble, let's have some more music. This is a very Christmassy band, you know, because they got the word Arctic in the title. This is the Arctic Monkeys with Teddy Picker.
Ooh, that's the Arctic Monkeys with Teddy Picker. I kept on saying throughout the year that, oh, Richard Iowede directed a video for that. Incorrect. He directed the video for one of the previous singles from that album. It's a video with clowns beating up hard men in a kind of warehouse. It is good.
It's a good vid. Hey, listen, news has just come in.
Ooh.
Christmas has been cancelled.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid Gordon Brown and Jonathan Porritt.
Right.
Do you know who he is?
No.
He's a kind of eco man. They've cancelled it because it's ecologically unsound.
What's wrong with Christmas?
Because Christmas involves chopping down trees.
Yeah.
Buying useless things.
Right.
Plugging in fancy lights that drain electricity.
That's true.
Watching extra television.
Yeah.
Cooking extra food. Over the Christmas period, the Earth uses more carbon fibers. Yeah, that's what the environment's made up of.
Right.
Than any other type of time of year.
That's probably... Are you making all that up? That sounds... Yeah. Has the ring of truth, though.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day. Mm. I thought, you know, if we were really taking the end of the world seriously, then we'd just cancel the whole thing. Or we, you know, you'd make it super kind of earthy. You'd give... you know those Oxfam type presents? Mm. Have you ever been given a present by one of those Oxfam presents where they give you a card and say, oh, I've bought a donkey for the third world?
No, I never have.
Really? That shows the circles you mix in and the values of your family. Yeah. No. A lot.
By your brother?
Yeah. by my brother, and my girlfriend often gets them.
So how many donkeys have you got then?
I've bought a couple of donkeys. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, good for the guy with the donkey, but bad news for me.
So is the point...
Where's the goods?
Is the point...
Where's the stuff?
Exactly, where's the stuff? You know, is the point...
You know what, and I'm sure the guy with the donkey might agree as well at the end of the day.
Is it to help the donkey, or is it just to give a gift that doesn't involve using up more of the world's resources?
Yeah, it's to actually do something good.
So,
because
rather
than just indulge yourself or your, you know, your family.
Because a donkey, that's bad, man.
Why is a donkey bad?
Well, I could understand a star. If someone gave you a star, I've named the star after you.
How would that help someone in the third
world? Joe Star. And then you could say, I've got a star.
Is that what you're doing for Christmas?
Well, who are you helping in the third world adopting
the
a donkey?
Guy that gets the donkey.
What?
Because he can carry water on it. Donkeys are essential. Dear me.
I don't understand.
That's what I'm going to give you for Christmas. But, you know, listeners, we bought each other presents. Adam and I have bought each other presents. We're going to be opening them as the show goes on. None of them are environmentally friendly presents or kind of Oxfam-type presents, are they?
Well, mine is. One of mine came from Dr. Bernardo's, actually.
Really? But, you know, don't worry, Christmas hasn't been cancelled. And it's the time when God gives us permission. Jesus gives us permission to indulge. In a horrific way. That's what it says in the Bible, isn't it? Isn't that what it says in the Bible?
It is, yeah. There's
Ecclesiastes, somewhere in Ecclesiastes, and lo, Jesus said, this week, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Have another drinky. Speaking of which, I've got some, I brought in a special bottle from my fridge. It's been in the fridge for 1.5 years.
Is that really so?
Yes.
Wow, you've really pushed the boat out.
It's a bottle of Prosecco, and it looks a little bit like champagne. If you squint, it looks like champagne, and it's got a champagne-style cork and everything. I just knocked it against the mic there.
I love things that are just style.
Yeah.
Would you know, I don't like the real thing. I like something that's just styled after the real thing.
Right. Like some kind of brand of cereal that you get in, like a big supermarket. It looks a little bit like a famous brand of cereal, but actually it's just the own brand.
It's a bit like a flavoured something. You know, you can buy chocolate that's not chocolate, it's chocolate flavour.
Mm.
And that's not real chocolate.
Chocolate-flavoured chocolate.
You can get chocolate-flavoured chocolate cakes.
Right.
Yeah? So you're going to open that.
Would you like a glass of Prosecco?
Definitely. I think on the 22nd of December, you're allowed to drink. Again, it says that in Ecclesiastes. And lo, Jesus said, you're allowed to drink before 10 a.m.
Right.
In fact, not only that, but you must.
As long as it's Prosecco. Here we go. Listen for the cork, listeners.
I'm listening.
Oh
man, it took out the clock.
I very nearly smashed the big British castle
clock. Steve Lamack.
Let's have some more music.
It went through the ceiling and went all the way up Steve Lamack's bottom.
That's not very good, is it? We might be in
Vegas.
You
liked it.
So listen, while we're having a glass of Prosecco, here's some more music. And I think we've got, or is it music or a trail now?
They're kind of the same things to me.
Wouldn't it be amazing if the trail had music in it? Then it would
It'll never happen.
Two brilliant things for the price of
Dream
one.
Dream on.
But I think it's music. It's The Beat with Too Nice to Talk To. Mmm. That was The Beat with Too Nice to Talk To. Not only did I enjoy the beat, but I'm also enjoying my glass of Prosecco, and you can't really hear the bubbles over the crackle of the fire there.
You know what? That record by The Beat, it's called Too Nice to Talk To, T-double-O Nice to Talk To. If that was released today, it would have the numbers in it, wouldn't it?
Right.
It would be the number two nice to talk to, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's so many twos in there.
Yeah.
You'd be missing a trick not to. Maybe you could have the word two and the number two and the Roman numeral two.
Hey, listeners, if you've been listening, you'll know that we've started drinking. I'm just keeping things ticking along. That's a really good idea.
Thanks.
But I was going to say cheers.
Cheers, man.
Because we've got little glasses of champagne.
Happy Christmas.
It's Saturday. It's December the 22nd, so we're allowed to drink in the morning, as we've already established. In fact, other things you could do with your drink this morning is put it on your cereal, bathe in it, or what else could you do with
it? Have you ever poured booze over yourself?
no, I don't think I have. Never?
Have you?
Well, I'm just thinking.
And if so, under what circumstances?
It seems like the kind of thing you would do if you were a sexy grown-up man and you had maybe a woman who wanted to drink it.
It's the kind of thing. I think the only people who've ever done that are Scrooge McDuck and P. Diddy.
Scrooge McDuck? Why would he do it?
Because he bathes in... He's got a massive room full of money that he swims in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the kind of over-the-top thing he would do. But I wouldn't drink it if it was coming, you know, like champagne off Scrooge McDuck's back.
No.
No, I wouldn't have that. That would be disgusting. And I always feel the same thing
sounds
as well.
Like an aphorism.
Right.
Which is like champagne off Scrooge McDuck's back.
Yeah. That was intentional.
Yeah. Good one, man.
And, yeah, it would be, it's unhygienic, though. Why would you want to... Have you ever drunk or eaten anything off another human being? That's a yes. That's a yes. Okay, listen, folks, we are going to be unwrapping the first of our Christmas presents for each other after this next track, and this is something I've chosen for you. This was voted by Word Magazine as the very best Christmas song in one of their kind of roundups of the best and worst Christmas songs in their issue a couple of weeks ago. And I must say I agree. It's The Waitresses with Christmas Wrapping. Enjoy!
Hey, this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. This is our sort of Christmas show. That's why you can hear the sound of a lovely, warm, toasty, Christmassy fire.
We're in a lovely Christmassy shack. And we've got a load of presents for each other. I said that we were going to be unwrapping our first present after that last track, The Waitresses. But actually, we're going to wait for the news because it's going to be news time soon. But before that, here's one of the big musical successes. Stories of 2007.
Yeah, this is a song inspired by when they went to see the film Control and someone stood up and went to the loo. Yeah, it's Gossip with Standing in the Way of Control.
Nice. That was the Gossip with Standing in the Way of Control. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's our Christmas show and we'll be back very shortly. But first, here is the Green Day with Warning. Hey, this is Adam Buxton.
This is Joe Cornish. The sound you can hear in the background, listeners, is a lovely Christmassy fire. This is our special Christmas show. This is the show we're doing closest to the actual day of Christmas, the sweet spot, the nexus, the pivotal moment of the season.
Yeah. And we should confess to you right now that this is a pre-recorded show, so please don't text or email us because it would be a waste and then the whole world would crumble. You'd feel used.
What a waste.
We'd feel embarrassed. It would be a nightmare.
But, of course, because it's Christmas, Adam and I have bought each other presents, and sitting here beneath a Christmas tree, we do actually have a Christmas tree, right? We wouldn't lie about that.
No!
No, we're not allowed to lie here at the
no,
BBC.
No, there's no lying.
We've got a full, big Christmas tree, an invisible one.
I thought you were going to say we've got a full-blown Christmas tree.
I will. We've got a full-blown Christmas tree, and underneath it is a lovely pile of exciting, brightly coloured wrapped presents.
My mind is so pathetic that all I can think of is the filthiness of that. Just the idea of a full-blown Christmas tree with a big pile of prezzies just sounds filthy to my mind.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, who shall give first?
I don't know.
Christmas is all about giving.
It's true, isn't it? Well, why don't you have...
I'm going to give
you... 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Let's start with you giving me a present, because you've bought me more presents than I've bought you.
Really?
But it depends on the quality of the individual present, doesn't it?
Well, how do you rate the quality of your presents?
What, the ones that I've bought for you?
Yeah.
What method do I use, or how would I actually rate them?
Yeah, how would you rate them?
Very high.
Very high?
Yeah.
Do you think I would genuinely like any of the presents you've got me?
All of them.
All right, listen.
I tell you, do you know how long it took me to get these presents?
No.
25 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know how much their total worth is?
I would say £8.
No, that's about 15... £16 worth
really?
Of presents. Yeah.
I'm just going to tot up mine quickly in my head. Yours are worth about... Actually, well, yours are worth about 20 quid.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting.
Here you go, here's the first present.
So here we go. It's very exciting, listeners.
Do you know what that is? Can you tell?
Well, it feels like a CD. Over the years, I've become quite adept at identifying wrapped objects.
Yeah, of course.
And this is quite clearly a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Opening it up. Ooh. Oh, this actually looks quite good.
Well, you know.
It's a CD. It's called Stealin' Christmas. And it's got a large man playing a steel drum. He's sort of leaning on the steel drum and kind of poking something inside it. And the steel drum's got holly attached to it. He's called Brent Holder.
Maybe Ben, our producer for today, could stick it on for us.
Yeah, here we go. I'm going to pass the CD there to Ben. The only thing that is a little bit suspicious making is the cover's cracked there.
You know,
does that mean it's secondhand, or it's a reject from your collection, or has it merely been handled roughly?
Dr. Bernardo's Really?
Yeah.
Is it secondhand?
It is.
do you own? Do you know what
two.
This record is?
Let's go for track two. Because the first one, what's track two called?
Track two is called Ding Dong Merrily on High. I've heard of that one.
It's not recognisable yet, but it will be in a second. It's a nice little intro here. Ready? Ooh! Ding dong merrily on high. I live in Jamaica. I'm playing the steel drums.
This is great.
It's good, isn't it?
There we go. There's a biography here. It says, the Port of Spain Police Youth Club in Trinidad was the first place Brent started playing the steel pan instrument from the tender age of 8. Wow, so he's a kind of steel pan expert. That's exciting.
It's good, isn't it? Because it sounds almost synthesized. You know, it's like he's so precise, but this is real steel drum playing you're hearing, folks. Mm. What's his name again, the guy?
His name is Brent Holder. That sounds like a Star Trek actor.
Yeah. Well, Brent Spiner played Data.
So what drew you to this?
Well, to be honest, I just thought it might be fun just to play on the show a little bit. And I thought you'd dig it because, you know, you've got questing kind of musical tastes, don't you? And,
yeah.
And you enjoy the...
enjoy the rhythm and the blues and that
exactly,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So I thought a bit of steel drum would be nice. And you know what I was thinking as well is the other day when we did Song Wars Christmas songs, I was originally going to go down the steel drum route.
Ah.
I went down a different route in the end, but I was, you know, very attracted to that. Are you drinking your Prosecco, incidentally?
Me?
Yeah.
I've had a couple of sips, yeah.
I've had more than a couple of sips.
I'm pacing myself.
It's not even 10 o'clock. I'm a little bit tooty.
Wow. Yeah.
We should probably play some music.
That's very kind, man. Thank you very much.
Are you genuinely a little bit happy with that? Not really.
A little bit.
Will you play it?
A little bit. That crack's really taking the edge off it,
I genuinely thought about rehousing it.
It's funny, isn't it?
CD.
When you have a CD and the case cracks, it just takes the edge off
the
band, their career, and the music within.
I'm sorry about that.
Just feels cheap. Yeah. How much was it? Is that an un-Christmassy question to
ask? A little bit un-Christmassy. £3.
£3.
Yes. Shall we have some music?
Yeah. Let's have, this is Ding Dong Merrily on High by Brent Holder.
We've had that. This is Ida Maria with Drive Away My Heart. Wow, she just refused to die there. She's like an animal caught in a trap, and she had a couple death throes there. And
what's Christmas going to be like at Ida Maria's house? Quite
very
serious.
Very serious.
Quite confused.
Yeah.
Lots of strange pauses and then sudden noises.
Dad, I got you. Addiction rate.
I think her family died, but they're still sitting around the table.
Right.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre style.
Hide her.
She tries to force a hammer into her father's hand. That's nasty business, isn't it?
What an appalling image.
Appalling. It's from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I know, but I'm
saying. Kids love that film. Kids watch that film these days.
That is one of the most horrific moments
in cinema,
isn't it? It is. It's
horrible business. Let's not take that any further, because it's Christmas, and we should banish that thought of that kind of necrophiliac in a party chit-chat. We should banish it from our minds. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Merry, very nearly Christmas, listeners. Adam and I, to celebrate the season, have done something that everybody does and bought each other presents. Adam has just given me a marvellous CD of steel drum music. I wish you could see the cover art on this thing.
Would you not even play that like at a little party, just for a little bit?
A very, very small party. Yeah. One with nobody there. Here's a present for you.
Thanks, man.
It's all right.
This is a small present, listeners, and it should be noted that Joe Cornish has wrapped his presents this year in the newspaper.
Man, that was a...
In the newspaper.
This is radio. There was no need for you to actually be transparent.
I thought the listeners should know, because I took the time to wrap your stuff in nice silver paper from a shop.
It's true.
And the paper actually was probably worth more than the...
than the present.
than the gifts. But no, I only mentioned that because in previous years I've been a bit slack about my wrapping. I remember one year I didn't wrap anything at all. I just handed you stuff. That's very
another year you didn't buy anything.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Now you're always
pretty
good.
But look at what newspaper I've wrapped it in.
The Daily Telegraph.
Yeah.
Do you read the Daily Telegraph?
The sport pages.
You're good at reading newspapers, though. How many newspapers do you buy a day?
Just the one. No, I didn't. That was got from the Six Music used newspaper pile.
Telegraph's a good paper, though, isn't it? I'm not a big newspaper reader, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, look, Manager of the Month.
Hey, focus on the present, not the paper. I mean, it is lovely paper.
Congratulations to Paul Cook from Nuneaton.
Frankly, he had a cracking November as his team...
This is very rude.
You're being very rude.
Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Describe what's happening. Talk us through it.
Oh, McLeish arrival to end takeover.
Oh, sorry. Now, listen, I've unwrapped it, and in the middle, it's a kind of... Oh, my gosh. What is this? It's a sort of tube, a little tube, a little smaller than a tube of Smarties. Actually, maybe half the size of a tube of Smarties.
Listen, if you go about it this way, you'll never figure out what it is. What do you think it is? A telescope? A firework?
Could it be... It looks like a firework. It looks like the cardboard middle of a firework.
You? Otherwise, we'll be here all evening.
All right, then.
I got this from that music shop in the Tottenham Court Road. Is it called Macrame?
It looks like the kind of musical instrument that Damon Albarn would use.
Yeah, I'll tell you what this is. It is a musical instrument. It's what they call a jaw harp.
Oh!
Yeah, have you ever used one of those before?
No.
During the next record, you can figure out how to use it, but you put it between your lips, you open your mouth, and then you go...
Oh!
Oh!
I just stabbed myself.
Just snapped it against his mouth. Have you actually cut your lips?
I don't know. It could have gone right. It could have just pierced my cheek with the harp.
Pace yourself with it.
Oh, my Lord. Am I bleeding?
Not yet, no, but...
I am. Look at that. That's blood, mate.
A little bit of blood.
Oh, my Lord. Thanks. Thanks for the deadly present.
Well, I didn't...
Because this is not a normal one. Usually, I've seen these things before. They're also known in the old world as a Jew's harp.
They sit round
campfires and they go...
Bang, 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 bang. You're going to be doing that in a second. We're going to go for a record. During the record, you're
I'm really
learn.
Bleeding. Look
it's
at this.
It's not my fault.
It's pouring out.
It's not my fault.
I just had two glasses of Prosecco. I'm not coordinated. You give me this deadly device.
Yeah, but it's like me giving you a box of chocolates and then you stuffing them into your eyes and then complaining that your eyes hurt.
Come on, then. You picked this next track, right?
I did, yeah. This is the Rolling Stones. It's called Winter.
Are you a Stones fan?
Yeah.
Where'd you hear this song? I bet this is on a soundtrack, right?
No. It's a great classic Rolling Stones song. One of my favourites. It's called Winter. This is Adam and Joe, BBC Six Music. Good morning, everybody. This is our special Christmas show. We're in a little wooden shack. We've got a fire going. And you just heard the Rolling Stones with Winter. And I just gave Adam his first Christmas present. It's a jaw harp. And during the break... during that last record, he's been learning how to play it. And yeah. Before that record, he just cut a chunk of his lip off with it.
It's a very sharp jaw harp, I must say. And I almost immediately, because I'm a slightly malcoordinated, shoved it right in my...
Man, I was flattered by that, because you did that because you were so excited.
I was excited about it. You nearly ate it. You know, it slightly puts my present to you to shame, because it's a far more creative... And it's something that I could use in the future as well, too.
Yeah.
Maybe for Song Wars,
yeah.
That kind of thing. It's great. And it looks pretty as well. But I think you're going to like your next present.
Really?
Very much.
Before we move on to that, I'd like to hear some of your jaw harp stylings.
Oh,
hold it by the tip, because you've got to let it resonate. It's all about resonation.
What do you want me to play?
I'd like you to play Orange Juice's track, I Can't Help Myself. Four tops, I can't help myself, I can't help myself. Oh, I can't. That's good. That's quite good. That's the sound of Adam beginning to learn to play the jaw harp. And in a few months' time, he might be one of Britain's leading jaw harpists. Try and change the note.
What do you mean, change? I'm changing all over the area.
Hang on. That's good. That's a great idea for a Christmas present, even though I say it myself. It costs like £6, you know?
I mean, you know, you don't get many more notes than that out of it, do you?
Oh, no, you do.
It's suddenly... What do you mean? Here, look, take it.
I'm not taking it. It's got all your germs all over it.
Well, it's got all my blood all over it.
I'll have a little go of it during the next record. Here's a session track recorded for the David Kidd Jensen Show on Radio 1 on the 25th of August. April 1982. What a year 82 was. And this is Orange Juice.
A classic year. And after this, who's giving who a present?
I don't know. We might wait till the next hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Are we in the next hour?
Ooh, very nearly.
Yeah. Here's Orange Juice with I Can't Help Myself.
That was Beck with Little Drum Machine Boy, and that was a little remix that I did myself for
you
listeners. Yeah, because the actual track, which I think is on the B-side of... Oh, I forget. It was on... You know what? It was on a freebie giveaway thing that came with Select magazine years ago. And it was a really good little sort of EP.
Is it rude? There was a little bit of rudeness in there. Hope it didn't offend anybody. But also, it went on for hours. The original thing was like 8 minutes.
So you kind of
minutes.
Compressed it.
Did a little compression on it.
Good work.
I hope you enjoyed it. Anyway, this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's our Christmas show. Even though it's only the 22nd, you still got a load of time to do all your present buying. There's no hurry.
And hey, Merry Crinkles, Christmas listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Because Christmas is our favourite time of year.
Mm.
You know, even if you don't necessarily believe in every single aspect of it, it's still a nice time just to take stock, relax a little bit. If you're lucky enough to get some time off from your hard work, just see some friends, you know. Are you big on the Christmas card situation, Joe?
No, I'm ashamed to say I've never sent a Christmas card in my life.
That's lucky, man. I envy you because there's no real reason for it. And it's just a sort of insane routine that people get into that gets worse as you get older.
It's a policy decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
Weirdly, our friend Louis Theroux, you might occasionally see him on the telly.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Christmas cards.
Right.
Never before.
Well, he's a family man now,
a Christmas
though.
Card. It's true, isn't it? I think if you have the Kiddles and all that sort of business, Christmas cards become part of the whole deal.
I'm one of these people that puts their children on their Christmas cards.
What do you mean by that?
I actually place both the boys on top of the card and I shove them into the letterbox and then they accompany the card.
Just to get rid of them.
No, that's not true. I take pictures of them in cute poses.
Oh, God. You're like that American woman that does the awful pictures of babies. What's she called? Anne Geddes.
Yeah, I'm exactly like her. No, it's mainly
you
for...
You look very like her.
Thank you. It's mainly for my parents, you know, because they get... And it's for me and my wife as well. We enjoy dressing them up and making them look ludicrous. But I can't stop myself doing it, even though a lot of my friends I know disapprove and think it's very tacky and ludicrous and sort of show-offy to parade my children in Christmas garb. Mm,
correct.
But I like doing it, and it's
what are they dressed in this year?
This year, well, we've left it quite late this year. We haven't done it yet.
We haven't done it yet?
No, it's the 22nd, and we still haven't done our Christmas card, so it might be a sort of New Year motif we might
What are you thinking? What are you thinking, costume-wise?
I'm thinking, well, generally we go fairly traditional with the costumes.
Just a Christmas hat.
Like a little Christmas hat.
They're old enough to resist now, aren't they?
Man, they've been old enough to resist for the last 3 years. They hate it.
Do they?
They absolutely hate
it. Really? I think you should do them up like celebrities, like they do in Heat magazine.
Honestly, that's what I've been waiting for. Every year, I think if there was a prominent celebrity couple, I'd just Photoshop their faces.
Who are the key couple this year?
Brown and Blair. I could have done.
Brown and Blair. You could have done a sort of satirical political pose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Have you seen that advert? I think it's for Schweppes or something like that, where it's a kind of Photoshop job of a bar and everybody's in there giving each other gifts.
Is it an Alison Jackson? Is she called Alison Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
The artist who does all the celebrity lookalikes.
Right, it's lookalikes, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go. It's ludicrous. And it's got Pete Doherty and...
Sure, yeah.
They're the big people. And who is it? It's Posh and Becks is the other one, is it?
There we go.
Mm. The most famous people, 2007, I guess. That's the consensus. Blair and Brown, Posh and Becks and Doherty and...
What a retarded world we live in.
Yeah, and I'm the king of it.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm the most retarded person in it.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, so I'm the king.
Well. Now, listen, I want to tell you about Frank's nativity play. Frank is my son, incidentally, listeners. Hope you won't mind me talking about him. I'll be talking about his nativity play very shortly. And, of course, we've got some present-giving business to settle as well shortly. But first, here's some more music. This is Interpol, the most Christmassy band in the world, with the Heinrich Manoeuvre.
That was Interpol with the Heinrich Manoeuvre. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, coming to you from our Christmas shack here in central London, where we've got a lovely, cosy, roaring log fire.
We got Booker T and the MGs playing in the corner there.
Yeah.
Right, lads.
Just a few Christmas songs.
Yeah, thank you, fine. Thank you. Having a nice time. How are you, Joe?
Shh, fine, thanks. Keep it down.
Booker T Washington was speaking there.
Now, Adam, you're going to tell us about your son's nativity play. I'm going to sit back and drink my, what is this?
Prosecco.
Prosecco, yeah. Alcohol early in the morning, but it's all right because it's Christmas.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're feeling a little bit tooty now?
Tiny bit tooty, yeah.
Taking the edge off a little?
I've got a very low tolerance for alcohol, so I'm entering the headache phase.
Are you immediately?
Almost immediately. My enjoyment lasted about 4 seconds.
That tends to be the problem with sparkling wine.
Yeah. Go for it, though. Tell us about the nativity play.
Well, I went to my son Frank's nativity play. He's about 5 and a half now, and this was the first time that he's been involved with a school play production thing and not immediately started crying as soon as he appeared on the stage and ran away, because he finds it too much. It's overwhelming, you know. He's not a natural performer in that respect.
But this time, man, he nailed it. He had a line. His line was, we come bearing gifts of gold, precious frankincense, and myrrh. And he also sang many of the songs. He didn't solo it, but he was a very valuable part of the choir. So I was extremely proud. But my enjoyment of the whole thing was somewhat, what's the word?
Marred.
Marred, mollified, offset by, not mollified certainly, but offset by the fact that Christmas nativity play now is a total scrum. Is there any other kind of nativity play apart from a Christmas one? No. But it's a total scrum. In the video age, the phone age, right, and the camera age, parents are just going absolutely nuts.
Was it in a movie or a TV sketch show? I can remember seeing a sequence in something where it's like a press call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the world's press are taking photos of David Beckham in his weird bulgy knickknacks.
Yes.
People are just crazy.
Exactly.
And kind of, it's as if human beings don't have memories anymore.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I always think if something really means something, if you just look at it really hard with your eyes, there are nerve endings in the brain that record it, you know?
Yeah.
And that might be a bit more meaningful. In a way, filming stuff or taking photos is actually reductive.
Well,
to a degree. I'm just giving you, I'm being devil's advocate.
Yes.
But certainly, when you see things like that, and I think I've been to a friend's nativity play where I witnessed a very similar scene, and yeah, one does think, man, this has gone too far.
Was the scene something to do with Mary and Joseph?
It was a similar scene.
Yeah.
It was that kind of scene.
I mean, it's unusual, of course, these days to see something that traditional, because only 5% of schools are doing traditional nativity plays, because the Killjoys want to stamp it out.
Yeah.
So we're told. But anyway...
Well, there's many different religions in the country.
Yeah, but the other religions are not going around saying, you know what makes me sick is nativity plays. I think it's mainly
but you've got to be inclusive with little kids.
Yeah.
It's a tricky subject. It's a kind of political hot potato that we don't like to handle here on the Adam and Joe Show. Let's open that political hot potato.
It's delicious.
Put a knob of butter in and a little bit of cheese.
Mmm. Just a knob, maybe. That's a delicious hot potato. Thanks very much. But no, I was thinking all the same stuff that you were saying previously about memorizing things and the value of memory as opposed to just the stark image from a phone cam or whatever. But it didn't stop me rushing down there and trying to get a little shot. I knelt at the front because the problem in the church was that, you know, you've got all the people in the pews, it's a packed house in the pews, but the children actually involved with the production were not raised up. There was no stage or anything.
Mm.
And they were very close to the front row. So only the front row got a good view. Everyone else was stuffed.
It sounds badly directed. I'll do next year.
Yeah, could you?
Yeah.
And I was thinking if they'd asked me, I would have got them some cheap staging, some cheap risers, you know? Mm. I could have sorted the whole thing out. There wouldn't have been a big scrum. But no, they wouldn't ask me about it. And instead, it was a disaster.
Was it?
It was the biggest... No, it wasn't. It was charming. But
I bet it was charming.
I wish I could have seen a little
Some bit schools have banned recording devices, haven't they?
Have they?
From their plays,
probably,
yeah.
Quite wisely. I mean, yeah. It was out of control here. There was people with massive telephoto lenses and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. It was way out of control.
The thing is, when you're filming something like that, that you don't actually kind of, you know, where it's not a proper film, it's probably hard to know where to point the camera.
Right.
Do you go for wide? Do you zoom in for a close-up? How did you handle? You were just on Frank the whole time.
Zooming in, yeah, I don't want the whole
You're not interested in any of the other kids, you just want Frank.
I got an establisher, but mainly I wanted Frank. He was looking sweet there with his halo. But then the problem is, once you zoom in on a digital camera, it's total blocker vision.
Oh, you were taking stills, you weren't taking video.
I was taking video, but on the mini camera.
Ah.
So, I'm probably never going to see it again. And my memory of the whole thing is just a kind of mad photo scrum with Frank somewhere in the middle of it.
What's the world come to?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Would you like some music to help you think about it?
Sure, okay. What have you got?
I've got only one of the best songs ever recorded by a human being.
Is this what I think it is?
It's Duffy with Rock Fairy.
It's not what I thought it was.
That's good, isn't it? We sort of gave it a rather inappropriate introduction.
You were sniggering.
I was sniggering and snorting, but not at the music. It was just happened to be a good moment for a snigger and a snort. But that was Duffy with Rock Fairy. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's our Christmas show. We're in our little shack. We've got our fire going. We're playing some good Christmassy songs. We've got some presents to give. I think it's time for our next present very shortly, don't you think?
Yeah, what about right now?
Right now, you say.
I'm greedy for prezzies.
Okay,
I love
then.
The prezzies.
You can have
what
a
would
present.
You say, Adam Buxton, was the best present you've ever been given in your whole life for Christmas? The most excited you've ever been?
Well, the most excited, that's easy. The most excited was when I got my... excuse me. When I got my Sony Trinitron colour television.
How old were you?
I was 12.
Wow.
And so that would have been 1981, 1982.
Is that the first telly you actually owned in your bedroom?
First TV. And my parents were very reluctant to give it to me, you know, obviously, because you don't
it
want
to. It has
your...
had a seriously detrimental effect.
Well, exactly. No, I mean, it essentially made it possible for me to earn money in my later life in this ludicrous manner, because it meant that I could watch a huge amount of all kinds of television at any time, and it was great. And it's still working today. It's still in my house. It's
really?
Yeah, it's a classic little TV.
Wow.
Well, how about you?
Probably the Play People fire engine.
Really?
They're called Playmobil now, but I was obsessed with Play People. I got a Play People fire engine, and because my birthday is very near Christmas.
Right.
It was a joint birthday present. Yeah, my parents couldn't afford it.
Oh, really?
They couldn't afford the whole play person fire engine.
How old were you?
I don't know, they thought it was too sort of greedy and demanding.
What was this, 26, 27 years old?
27, yeah.
27.
No, I don't know, it probably about 8 or 9.
Right.
I did play with those toys till a lot later than most children, though.
Yeah.
I was still playing with them when I was 13.
Did you used to make sort of dioramas 14, out of your sheets, like mountains
15,
and stuff?
16.
What? What were you doing with them?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The Empire Strikes Back snow caves.
Yes, exactly.
From duvets. Yeah, and oh, you don't want me to get into that.
Oh.
But yeah, what an exciting time.
Yeah,
for everybody.
With the
Christmas
fire engine. Yeah, oh, Christmas, right.
Yeah. So, listen, let's have another record before we do another present. It's very exciting. You know, looking at these presents, obviously one over the years becomes able to discern what a present is. Adam, can you tell what my presents are for
Am I allowed to do some handling?
Yeah, absolutely. You can handle this one.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you think that one is? Describe it to the listeners.
It's wrapped in newspaper.
Just stop saying that.
Sorry,
what? This is radio. You paint pictures in people's minds. That could be any kind of paper.
It feels like a double CD with a little book on top of it. Would that be right?
I'm not going to tell you whether it's right or wrong.
It's right.
What about this one?
And
what's
this
that
one? This feels... It's got the same dimensions as a headphone, a pair of headphones in a plastic case.
Now, do you have to... are your Christmas presents under your tree for your kids already?
Yes, they are, yeah.
And do you have to control their squeezing and fondling?
Yes, we do.
And what about
yes.
Christmas presents?
That's totally inappropriate.
It's not necessarily sexual.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's because otherwise it gets way out of control. But they're both old enough not to rip all the paper off and stuff.
Are they?
So, yeah, it's okay
now. That's good. They're very well behaved.
They're pretty well behaved.
Looking at your presents that you've given me, I'd say that's a DVD.
Yeah.
I'd say that's a book.
Yeah.
And that's probably a Panini sticker album.
Yes! How did you guess
Is it
that
a Golden
one?
Compass?
No, it's not Golden Compass.
I wanted the Golden Compass Panini sticker album.
Have another guess. Go on. I bet you'll never guess which one it is. It's so funny.
Is it a Panini? Is it a Panini sticker
It's not
album?
Panini, but it does
It's a sticker
stickers.
Album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know too much already.
Oh.
I'm not going to say anymore.
All right, listen. Here's some more music. And this is another Christmas classic. I mean, this is probably played on heavy rotation every Christmas now. And quite right, too, because it's one of the loveliest songs ever written, whether it's Christmas or not. It's The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl.
There we go. That was The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl. Coming up after the news, all sorts of fantastic music and more present opening. But first, Joy Division with Love Will Tear Us Apart. I preferred Paul Young's version of that from the album No Parley.
I forgot he did one of that.
One of them. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Very happy Christmas Saturday morning. We hope everyone's feeling all Christmassy and warm and loving. If you're angry about anything, about politics, about maybe the way one of your friends has behaved recently or relatives.
Or what about the way that Al Gore's poisoned the planet?
The way that Al Gore has brought up this whole depressing global warming
thing. Thanks a lot, Al Gore.
Shoved it down our throats.
Thanks.
With his silly DVD in its cardboard recycled sleeve.
Thanks for that.
Thanks, Al Gore.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. The point I was making is just, you know, take a Christmassy chill cake.
A chill cake?
A chill cake.
Do
I couldn't bring myself to say pill. And Christmas is the season of cakes.
Yeah.
So a Christmas chill cake.
Well, it would
make
more likely be a little chill pie, wouldn't it?
A little Christmas chill pie.
A chill pie.
Yeah. A mincing pie.
Chill pie chetty.
Jill Pichetti and Jade Goody Goody Yum Yum.
It's just, do you think just saying Jill Pichetti is racist?
No.
Could this be a race row?
It could be. If you're lucky, then you'll get famous.
If I concentrate hard enough, it could turn into a race row. So maybe I won't, okay? Now, listen, it's got to be present time, sure.
It's got to be present time.
And I think it's
time for me to give you a present, yeah?
No, it's time for you to receive a present from me. Because
You see, that's because I like giving more than receiving.
Oh.
You see?
So I've heard. Now, wow, which shall I give you? I'm going to give you this one because you might be able to use this throughout the rest of the show and indeed your life.
Now, this is a book, listeners. It's rather beautifully wrapped using the classic church fold.
Is that what it's called?
Nope. Church fold on the top end and the linear flat fold on the bottom.
The church fold. That is a good name for it because you make, you know, you kind of fold the triangular ends
eaves.
Down there.
Eaves.
You've got all the words.
I've got all the words. I'm unwrapping it. Now listen to that sound, listeners, because that's the sound that you're going to be hearing in a couple of days' time when you open your prezzies. I bet you're jealous of us opening our prezzies early. Oh! So this is a book. It's a purple book. It's called The Friendship Book.
Yeah.
And it's not by someone. It's of someone. It says The Friendship Book of Francis Gay. little things.
I'm not laughing at the word
his name. No. And there's a picture of a woodpecker on a sort of a branch of a tree, and it says it's got a thought for each day of 2008. That's
right.
Fantastic on the back cover.
It's pretty good.
I always turn to the back cover.
Right.
It says in large quotation marks, "The Friendship Book is a glimpse beyond this world and a little bit of heaven on earth." Are you going to kill me this year?
Well, you never know. You never know.
That's very exciting. I'm going to open it up. For Joe, love your friend Adam. One kiss, Christmas 2007.
That's the inscription.
That's very sweet. It's been inscribed and everything. He's left the price on £6.50.
Oh,
that's
no, did
I? How much his friendship costs.
It's quite good, though. £6.50.
That's quite
reckon?
Good, yeah, man.
Not bad.
The inner sleeve says, "The day after day, the friendship book has a welcoming thought for every reader. Heartwarming tales and uplifting quotes to inspire for 12 months and to be treasured for much longer. Sprinkled throughout are striking images of naked ladies involved in sexual exploits that will boggle the mind."
That's not true.
I made that up. "Sprinkled throughout are striking images from..." Sorry, it's the sparkling wine. "From talented photographers who capture all that's best..." Oh, my side is splitting. "About the world in which we live." Okay, sorry. That's the wheezy laughter of a couple of old tramps. Okay, let's try and control ourselves and go for a thought. Pick a day. Ben, our producer, because you seem to be in control. Pick a day of 2008.
He hasn't even had his...
Man, looking at Ben really sobers me up.
Yeah.
March the 3rd. Okay, it's going to take me a little while to find that.
March the 3rd.
So just...
each, as far as I can tell, each day...
Are you mocking his choice of date?
No.
March the 3rd.
Ludicrous day.
Can you take...
It's my birthday.
Can you be sarcastic just about a date?
I wasn't being sarcastic about the date. I was just giggling randomly. But having flicked through the book myself when I bought it, I can tell you, listeners, that every single day has a little sort of inspiring anecdote. Or sort of poetic thought for it. And so let's see what it says for
okay,
March the
Monday,
3rd.
March the 3rd. Here is a Native American tale. A Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. "A struggle is going on inside me," he said to the youngster. "It is a tough one. It is a tough one. And it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is envy, greed, guilt, resentment, self-pity, lies, and false pride. The other is goodness. He is joy, serenity, humility, benevolence, truth, and compassion. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person, too." "But tell me, which wolf will win?" the grandson asked. "The one you feed," came the reply. Shh. Wow. Let's just have some music. Nobody say anything.
No one say anything.
Shh.
Think about it.
Have some music.
Think about it.
Oh, this is British Sea Power with waving flags.
Just think about that. Think about it.
That was British Sea Power with waving flags. And we left you before them with a beautiful thought, a little story, actually, from one of the gifts that Adam gave to me, the Friendship Book of Francis Gay. And that was a story... about a Cherokee Indian, and it was very moving, actually. It was kind of making the point that everybody has, you know, tensions and envy and greed inside them, and also joy and humility inside them, and they fight together, and the one that wins is the one you feed.
Yeah.
It's saying, my problem is I can't control my feeding times.
Right.
My brain tends to just scatter a handful of food broadly and equally over all areas.
Yeah.
I find it very hard to get the dispensing of the food in the brain right. I wonder what Francis Gay would have to say of that.
Well, have you tried though? Are you really definitely trying? Like, what's your trait, personality trait?
Oh, man, that's a big question.
That is a big one, isn't it?
My most negative.
Do you know what mine is?
Trait? What's yours?
Shall I tell you?
What?
It's probably envy.
Mm.
And what's the feeling when you're watching the Oscars and you absolutely hate everyone there? And
healthiness.
Or watching the comedy awards and
healthiness.
Not that you can watch the comedy awards, of course.
Just anymore, healthiness.
That's normal.
That's good. To hate people who are given awards is a good thing.
I'm not so sure.
Would you like that award yourself?
Well,
do you wish you were being given that award?
I mean, it's unlikely that I'm ever going to be in a position to be nominated or win an Oscar, but still, that doesn't stop me envying all the people there in a kind
of insane way. That's just mad. Clinically insane.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
This is a lovely book, and I really, really will refer to it every day.
You should,
it's
man.
It's really nice. Thank you very much.
For every day. Can I just pick another one at random now?
Sure.
I'm just going to open up the friendship book at random and see where we're going. Here's a little short thing for you. Okay, this is from Sunday, August the 24th, 2008.
Is this something you've prepared? You seem...
No, I picked this at random.
Okay.
And it came to pass.
Nice sniff. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Part of it?
That's a little extra sniff for you there. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.
That one's not so good.
Goest. It's not so good, is it?
This book's got a hidden agenda.
That's from...
He's trying to get me into the clerk.
That's from the booble. And that's from Luke 9:57. And that's basically... Oh, the lesson there is just follow people.
Stalking.
Yeah.
If you see a lady you feel is attractive, just follow her. There we go.
It's going to be my turn for a present very shortly.
That's very exciting.
First, here is some more music. And this is something that you chose, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a free play from me, Joe Cornish. This is by a band called The White Stripes, and this is the closest thing. Have they done a lot of Christmas-related material?
I feel as if they have, because their whole colour scheme is, of course, quintessentially Christmas.
It's very Santa-related, their colour scheme. But here's the closest I could find to a Christmas song from The White Stripes. This is, I think, a B-side of theirs. This is called Candy Cane Children.
Lovely stuff. You can't really argue with that, can you? I mean,
you could, but
you'd
be such a fool. Salem and Joe on BBC Six Music were just coming up to 11 o'clock, and
we should say who that was. And so that was Richard Hawley. That was taken from one of the Hub sessions. In fact, from the best of the Hub sessions this year. Various other shows on Six Music are playing tracks from the Hub sessions, and that was our one from that.
You know what? I figure probably nobody is listening right now.
Because
I think everyone's gone to do their last-minute Chrissy shopping.
I'm glad they didn't hear that last thing I said about Richard Hawley, because it was just a sort of rambly mishmash.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. I think everyone's probably doing Kringle shopping.
This has got to be the busiest Saturday of the year.
It's a very important Saturday for the High Street and their money takings.
Mm.
God, of course.
You're brilliant.
Thanks. It's been a tough year for the High Street due to Al Gore and global warming.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Scott L. Profits have gone down. There's looking to be a recession in 08.
Mm.
The World Banks have had to club together to try and stave off the recession.
Joke.
And as a result, I don't know why this is funny. It's actually very serious. We're laughing because it's so serious. We can't deal with it.
But it's funny because you're making it up.
I'm not making it up. This is all stuff I've read in the papers.
This is all true.
And the High Street's had a very tricky year. So get out there and spend for Britain's sake.
It is comforting, though.
Buy anything. Just go.
It's comforting to give bad news in that voice.
Bad news like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it makes it sound idiotic.
If you talk about anything bad or give bad news in a funny voice, it does make it a little...
Do you know what that funny voice is saying?
What?
It's saying that that's the sort of collective opinion of newspapers and stuff, And it's saying that, you know, it's probably not true.
Isn't it my turn for a present now?
It's your turn for a present, Adam, and I'd like to give you... I'd like to give you your... it's tricky. I don't know whether to... I'm going to give you your... yeah, this present. Here we go. Ooh. Now, this is a double header. There's two presents in here.
Yeah, man. This is the one that I felt this one earlier. I felt it up, and I surmised that it was a double CD and a book of some kind.
Yeah.
So here we go. I'm unwrapping. I was correct about the book... Oh, and the price is on this one, £1.50 from Bookends, and it is, oh, I was right about the double CD as well. The book is Billy Piper, The Roller Coaster Life of Britain's Hottest Star.
I know you're a big fan.
Written by Chris Stevens.
Have you got that already?
No, I don't have this one already.
Have I bought it for you before?
You left the price on Eamon Holmes as well.
Both those price tags are part of the design.
Are they?
Yeah.
The double CD is The Autobiography of Eamon Holmes, subtitled This Is My Life. It's read by Eamon Holmes.
Now, I'm interested to know whether it's divided into chapters, and if it is, what the chapters are titled. Because Eamon Holmes, has he had quite a dramatic and stormy life? He must have had to deserve an autobiography. Or has he had a sort of warm... I'm looking at Ben, our producer.
He must have had a crazy life.
He must have had a crazy life. A double CD.
Where did Eamon Holmes... Was he a newsreader to begin with? Or a gardener? What's the genesis of Holmes?
I really don't know. It's all to find out.
Here we go.
See you've kind of... Look, you've really pinned your colours to the mast, nailed them to the mast, attached them to the mast in some way, because you've gone for Holmes.
I'm starting
much
with
speedier
Holmes
than Billy.
I've always been slightly fascinated by Eamon Holmes, I have to admit.
Can we hear some of this, Ben? Can we stick some of that in? Have a look in the pamphlet, Adam, and bear with us here, listeners. There is an atmosphere of excitement here in the studio, because we do have the Eamon Holmes...
It's a triple disc edition.
Triple disc. How much was it again?
It was £4.
£4.
Where'd you get this one from?
Got that in a second-hand bookshop.
Look through there.
So let's have a look at Eamon Holmes' leaflet. Yes, it is. Like, track one is called, It Was My Mum's Idea to Call Me Eamon, ... Track two is called, People Have Got Used to Seeing Me Early, ...
Is there
Chapter
one with
13 is called My Partner Ruth Always Tells Me That She Knows, ... That's 57 seconds.
Is there a chapter called My Drugs Hell?
Let's have a look. There's a chapter called We Arranged It Very Quickly. It's 19.58 seconds. There's a chapter called It's Strange How People Use Words. That's 37 seconds long. This is the best gift ever. Why am I giving this away?
Listen,
wow.
Ben's loaded up CD1. What track on CD1 should he play?
CD1, I would go for... track 9 is called One of the Great Secrets of Life.
Let's hear that.
It's 37 seconds.
One of the great secrets of life is to be happy in what you do. I often preach to my youngsters, if you don't like animals, don't be a vet. If you have a bad back, don't stack shelves. In short, find out what comes easy to you, what your passions are. I'm in a position where I can preach from experience. I work long hours, but most of the time, it's not like work at all. Well, I left grammar school in 1978.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
My God.
So the gist of that is, what? How is that? How can he call that part of his autobiography? Because it's wisdom that he's picked up, but it's not wisdom that's exclusive to Holmes, though.
Well, yeah, but it's good. You know, for people who like Holmes, they might listen to Holmes more readily than they would listen to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that he delivers the nuggets of wisdom.
Right. And what was the thrust of it?
If you don't like animals, don't become a vet.
Don't become a vet.
That's fairly basic stuff, isn't it, Eamon?
No.
Have you done it?
Yeah, I've become a vet.
And you hate animals.
Hate animals.
You've been very, very stupid.
I'm such a jerk.
No, Eamon Holmes is obviously a lovely chap, and we wouldn't mean to mock him.
I like him. Hey, man, did you ever see him on, that Rob Brydon show called? Annually Retentive.
Sure.
He appeared on that. He was very good at doing a little Eamon Holmes cameo as quite a scary, threatening man. He was brilliant.
Yeah, he's funny. He's got a cheeky sense of humour, but wow, imagine actually buying that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, but I gave it to you.
Do you think I'm going to listen to it?
I think you probably are. I hope you are.
I am.
You know what I secretly hope?
What?
That we might do a Song Wars that might involve samples.
From that. Samples. You know? Good idea. No, stuff like that is great for long drives, you know.
For longers.
Longers. Now, I haven't even tackled Billy Piper's autobiography yet.
Well, why don't you have a look through it during the next record, and we'll read an excerpt from that after that.
That's The Smiths with a song by The Smiths. What was it called?
It was called What Difference Does It Make?
What Difference Does It Make? Sorry. I was I had my head in the Billy book that Joe just gave me.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, by the way, and it's our Christmas special programme. We haven't called it special before, but I'm now calling it special.
Ooh.
That could mean anything. It could mean it's, like, awful. But it also could mean it's great. And part of the idea of this show is that we give each other presents. We've been giving each other presents through the whole show, and recently I gave Adam an amazing double whammy of Eamon Holmes's 3-CD autobiography set, reading stuff about his own life, which was brilliant. We heard an extract from it earlier. And I also gave Adam, what did I give you?
The Billy Piper biography. It's not her autobiography. It was written by Chris Stevens. And it's
someone else.
About...
Well, that's always the best, isn't it? Because it's kind of muckraking.
It's about the rollercoaster life of Britain's hottest star. Now, already there, she...
It's been a big year for Piper. She's been in the French Letters of a Naughty Lady or whatever it was
called.
Have
you watched any of that show?
No.
It is surprisingly filthy.
Is it filthy? It scandalised the world of genuine prostitutes who say it glamorises the profession.
It certainly does that.
Does it?
Yeah, quite well.
No, I haven't I haven't watched it at all. But exciting to be holding that book, Adam? And you've been flicking through it during the Smiths there.
Page 142, Clouds on the Horizon. After a week of convivial living at the Sandy Lane Hotel, Chris got into a steaming row with the barman. The dispute was petty, over charges for a round of drinks that Chris couldn't remember ordering.
This is Evans we're talking about, right?
This is Evans. As Chris's voice rose and guests started to stare, Billy suggested they should just pay the bill and forget it. With rooms at £2,100 a night, was a £50 bar tab worth the hassle? Chris refused. With the dispute suddenly threatening to wreck the day, Billy asserted herself.
Let's not do this anymore,
she said, and paid the whole bill. According
Is that the end of the story?
Yes.
Wow.
According to guests who watched open-mouthed in embarrassment, Chris went ballistic. He accused her of undermining him and shouted at Billy until she burst into tears and walked out.
Oh.
A barman asked Chris to leave a few moments later. The following day, they spent apart, with Billy joining friends on a yacht.
That may have been the beginning of the end for for the Piper-Evans relationship.
Wow,
what a book. Does it have pictures?
Oh, yes.
I think it's got two sets of pictures.
Two sets of pictures. It's got the young Billy, because who can forget she was a little popstrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was she, 14 when she burst on the pop scene?
Very, very young.
Very young.
Very talented. Very precocious.
She always wanted to be famous, I remember reading.
Really? Well, she's done it.
She was one of those girls, you know, people pour scorn on a new generation of youngsters whose dream it is simply to be famous. They don't care about what they actually do to be famous. They just want the fame. And Billy was one of those people, but she made it happen.
She's got the talent.
She does have a little slice of talent there.
The talent. And she's made very good choices, and that's it. I hope you enjoy that book, Adam.
Thanks, man. It's it looks as if it's going to be really valuable in my life.
Here's a little more music for you, listeners. After this, maybe we'll be doing another present.
Yeah, you need a present, man. I've got two more for you.
I'm feeling bereft.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit of Winehouse with Love Is a Losing Game.
That's lovely, isn't it?
She's
very talented, Winehouse.
She's got a beautiful, beautiful voice, and she produces records that sound like instant classics, like they've been around for centuries, like the sort of thing your parents or your parents' parents might play you, and you know they've got a
timeless quality.
A timeless quality. That's great, isn't it? Stop it, Amy.
Stop.
Take care of yourself.
Pull back. Whoa, pull back there. Pull back there from the brink.
Yeah.
Maybe 2008 is the year that she's going to sort herself out.
Straightens herself out.
Sorts herself up.
She's so young. She's still so young.
So much life ahead of her.
So much ahead.
Don't waste it, Amy.
Don't waste it for God's
Come
sake.
On. Wipe that jam off your chin.
Wipe it off.
Put on a fresh pair of knickknacks. And that will do the trick.
That will do the job. Would you like a present?
I'd love a present. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, of course, and it's our special Christmas special here on a Christmas Saturday. And I know it's naughty to be opening presents before the big day. Don't, children, follow our example.
For God's sake.
It's very bad. We're only doing this because we're trained and we're working for the big British castle. And
we're not going to see each other again. You know, we spend Christmas apart. You may be disappointed to hear,
for medical reasons. But, you know, we're doing this to get you guys excited about the very act of opening presents and to inspire you to have, you know, a good day shopping for those final purchases, or giving money to charity.
That's true.
Or knitting and making things if you don't want to become part of the awful, valueless, shallow charade that is contemporary Christmas. That was a little bit strong. That was a combination of filling and very strong opinion. All right, so I'm opening this, what I hoped was going to be the Panini Golden Compass.
sticker album.
But no, it's not.
But did I correctly guess that it's a sticker album?
It's certainly very heavily sticker-based.
Really? This is exciting. I haven't had a sticker album for years.
I was pretty sure that you would enjoy this one. You know what? I bought myself a copy of this, too.
Oh, no.
What do you mean?
It's the Lazy Town sticker album. And you know, the good thing about it is it comes with stickers. It's got 80 stickers included, so it's not a kind of invitation to spend money at the newsagent. It's complete. And Lazy Town listeners, everyone knows what Lazy Town is. It's the crazy kind of global franchise that encourages kids to keep fit. And it's, you can't really tell whether it's a cartoon or live action, and it's got the guy Sporticus in it.
It's a queasy mix of so many styles and influences.
Wow, that's right. There's people in suits, there's people in lycra. It's really odd. And
it's Australian, isn't it?
Is it Australian? I think he's European, actually. I think he's German, the guy.
Is he?
I think Sporticus is some kind of German guy, yeah.
I would have thought it was from Australia. You know, it's usually the Australians that come up with that kind of hybrid.
Hey, don't besmirch the Europeans. Besmirch the Danes or possibly the Germans. It smells like Christmas.
I don't want to besmirch anyone. I'm saying it out of respect. You know, I respect Lazy Town. It's done very well. And it sort of took off this year, didn't it? I mean,
it's been taking off for some time, but it reached new altitudes. Yeah.
You were aware of it, I remember, a few years ago. You were talking about Lazy Town.
Well, I was ill one week and I turned on the telly in the morning and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was incredible. It was like, you know, eating every E number at once. Watching it. Look at this. It's fantastic. And this, I wouldn't want to advertise, and I'd like to stress that there are many other sticker scene books available. Here at the Big British Castle, we don't recommend any individual sticker book album, but this particular one really does hit the sticky spot. It's got the scenes, and they're empty, and then it's got this amazing fold-out. Look at that. Are you jealous, Ben, the producer? You are slightly jealous, aren't you? I'm going to stick these all over your.
Are you going to stick them everywhere? You know what I would do is frame that.
Would you frame that?
I would frame it.
Well, you'd have an awful house.
No. Because I have done that before.
It's true. And then you let it date and it sort of becomes
A
piece of art.
I framed a sheet of stickers from a copy of Smash Hits once. It was from 20 years ago. And it seemed a sort of ludicrous, Ponzi, Shoreditch type of thing to do to frame some stickers. But I'm glad I did because it looks wicked now. Because it's every year, you know, it's really hard to remember who the people are. And every year it becomes harder and harder. But it's sort of
enjoyable.
Do
you know what I'm going to do with these?
What?
I'm going to go on the underground and I'm going to stick them on the handrail of the escalator.
And you should stick them on some adverts as well.
I'm not going to do that. That would be a dreadful thing to do. And I was being sarcastic because that's a stupid thing to do.
Stupid thing to do.
What do you think I should do?
Stick them on the adverts when you're going down the underground.
On the adverts?
Yeah.
I usually just do that with a bit of chewing gum.
Did you see
pop them on the nose of whoever's in the pictures?
Speaking of the handrail on the underground, did you see the YouTube thing of the guy skiing down the handrail?
I've seen a couple of those, yeah.
Have you?
Lands with a bump.
Does he?
Yeah,
I was wondering how he did it, because if you look at the end there, there's no clean exit. There's
really?
Just a big
box in
the end.
Same one. You know, looking at these characters from Lazy Town, I wouldn't let any of these people anywhere near my children.
It's the creepiest show. If you haven't seen it, folks, you should try and seek it out. It's on, I can't remember what channel it's on, but it's on, you know, at tea time for children, and it's one of the creepiest shows.
Wow. Well, that's very, I've very kind, seen. Adam.
Well, it's not that great, is it? But you've got one more present from me coming up.
Vice versa.
Yes, which I will be receiving shortly. I'm excited about that. But first, here's some more music. Now, this is a choice from me, listeners. Although, you know, it's not exactly obscure, but it's from a great band and it's a sweet song. It's the Beach Boys with Little Saint Nick. The simmering resentment boiled over that September day when Chris arrived from London and switched on the telly to watch golf. On another occasion, it might not have been a big deal. What made this different was the offer Billy had recently had of a second Doctor Who series. She was going to spend another 12 months in Cardiff playing Rose. And if 8 weeks apart had done such damage to her marriage, what would a year do? Wasn't it kinder to put their relationship out of its misery straight away?
How did he know that from watching golf?
That was an extract from Billy Piper, The Roller Coaster Life of Britain's Hottest Star.
We should credit the author.
Yeah, by Chris Stevens.
Chris Stevens has spent probably a good 6 minutes of his life.
Six or seven minutes. And Joe gave it me for a Christmas present.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's our special Christmas special, where we're giving each other special gifts.
Time for a gift for me, though, isn't it?
A gift for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, because I got the Lazy Town book. Let's just do a gift recap. So far, I've got Stealing Christmas by Brent Holder. It's a an album of kind of, what do you call those things?
Steel drum music.
Steel drum Christmas music.
My first present from Joe was a mouth harp, also known as a jaw harp. And it's beautiful, and I stabbed myself in the cheek with it, and I'm still bleeding.
I got the Friendship Book of Francis Gay, a book full of things about friendship from Adam. Yeah,
I thrills. Also got Eamon Holmes, This Is My Life, read by Eamon Holmes on 3 CDs, plus Billy Piper, The Roller Coaster
Life.
Double
present. When you were a kid, did you used to, once you'd opened all your presents, there's an inevitable air of disappointment, isn't there?
Sure.
I mean, there's the incredible excitement before you open them, then you open them, which is an amazingly exciting experience, almost erotic.
Almost orgasmic.
The undressing of the presents, the stripping of them naked, and then the enjoying of looking up and down their
And just like real sex,
bodies.
You feel slightly disappointed afterwards.
Absolutely, a slight feeling of disappointment. And then, this is more like a serial killer than someone who's had sex. I used to organize the presents
definitely.
In a sort of a display.
Definitely, I did
take
that.
Them up to my room, and I'd kind of organize them as if it was Harrod's shop window or something. And then I take my trousers off and do a little dance. A dance of love in front of the presents.
Absolutely.
Did you used to do that kind of thing?
Sure I did, yeah, definitely. Arrange them all on top of each other and stuff. So it looked just like a sort of mad explosion of...
I tell you what it was probably pivoting on was kind of, you know, the Generation Game or a game show or 3-2-1 or one of those game shows where you'd won a lot of prizes.
Sure.
And at the end they'd be wheeled out on a trolley all arranged.
Beautifully presented.
It was that kind of effect we were going for.
And
as if the year was a big game show,
right.
Christmas was the moment just before the closing credits and you were reaping your rewards.
Would
for
you
the,
get
for
your
year.
Ma to come in a skimpy little outfit there and sort of
no, I'd get your mum to come in a skimpy little outfit.
Thank you.
You're asking for that. Another present or some music first?
Could I please have a present, please?
Okay, here's a present. This is one that you can get going during the next record. Adam has already sort of guessed that this might be a pair of headphones or something. It's
in
quite
a plastic
large.
Case.
It's in a plastic, what do you call it, kind of there's a name for those plastics, isn't there?
Yeah, sort of moulded.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
These are sort of impossible to open, these things. Do you reckon I'm going to be able to open it? I can see, listeners, the hairy, silly face of Noel Edmonds peeking out at me from the top of
if
this.
If television
present.
Was a religion, Noel would be God.
Joe has got me the Deal or No Deal electronic pocket game.
Yeah, because we're going to play around.
Priced $9.99 as the helpful price.
You know
price.
What? It's the biggest hit of the year on telly, or maybe last year, I can't remember. And if we play it on this show, the ratings are going to rocket. We'll become a granny magnet.
We might get sued. Well, listen, let's figure out how to play this thing. And
we won't get sued, will we?
And while we're...
No.
Well, we won't. No, the Big British Castle might, it might be another
I tell you what we're doing, we're reviewing it.
In the coffin, we're reviewing
it. We're commenting on it in a fair way, and we're reviewing the Deal or No Deal electronic game. Let's have some music while Adam plugs it in. Are you excited?
Yeah, but has it got Barties in it?
You know, your face looked like the face of a tiny excited child.
I am excited, but have you put batteries in it?
Toys have to come with batteries these days.
Not,
it's the law.
No, they don't. That was during the Blair years.
No, they haven't changed the law.
I think they might have done.
Oh, come on. It comes with batteries. Is it? Open it.
They banned smoking and...
Here, give it to me. Well, can tell by the weight.
You need a Phillips screwdriver to get the battery pack open.
Oh, God.
It's one of those ludicrous things they do now. You know, the two twin nightmares of modern presents. If you're buying a present for a child, like a plastic digger or something, it takes you 20 minutes to take all the twizzle ties off.
Yeah.
The little metal twizzles.
True.
And then the other thing is...
I thought it was against the law to give a toy without batteries.
I thought it was too, but not anymore, man. Not anymore.
They can't have changed it, switched it back. Are you telling me Gordon Blair turned it back?
Blair struck a blow for batteries. Brown just threw
Brown's
it right out the window.
Reversed the battery law. This is shocking.
Because the other thing
stuff.
Is, I was going to say that the other miserable thing about gifts is when they've got a battery
got
pack...
That's got batteries in
they've
it.
They've got a like the door for the battery case. Oh, I can't speak. But it's got a little screw in it. You need a Phillips screwdriver to open the battery flap.
You're kidding me. There's no way we're going to get this thing up and running. We're shafted.
We haven't. Has anyone got a Phillips screwdriver here?
No, I've got one.
By no
oh, come
means.
On. Someone will have one.
By
we've
no
got three minutes
means.
Or so to do this. How long have we got? We've got 2 minutes 45. Is it the Happy Mondays next?
Yes.
We've only got 2 minutes 45. Here's the Happy Mondays with Lazy-itis.
Scramble!
Yeah.
That's Lazy-itis by the Happy Mondays. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's the 22nd of December 2007, and this is our Christmas party that Joe and I are having.
Yeah. If you are disturbed by the crackling sound in the background there, listeners, don't worry. The big British castle isn't on fire. We've just got a lovely little fire going to complete the cozy Christmas scene. And we've been giving one another presents. And I've just given Adam one of the greatest presents ever bought for anybody ever.
Yeah, it's the Deal or No Deal electronic game.
Once again, we must stress that many other electronic games are available on the market. This is merely one that was chosen at random on the way in a desperate bid to buy a decent present.
This just happens to be an electronic game that has no noises.
I thought it would have noises. I thought it would have samples of Noel saying stuff like, welcome to the Dream Factory and come and sit in the crazy chair.
You'd think so.
And all that kind of stuff that he says. But there is a quote from Noel on the box. It says, what does Noel think? Quote, in this palm-top Deal or No Deal game, each time you pick a box, you open the lid and see what's in it. With all the tension and excitement of the real game, the only thing that's missing is me.
Ah. Which is quite a big factor in the whole success of the
Deal. Well, it would be much too expensive if he came with the game.
It's true.
Listen, we'll be playing some of that later.
But without Noel, you're kind of reduced to just picking 20 boxes very
quickly. Come on, I'll do Noel. It's time for the news.
Oh, man, I'm already hungover. I've only had 2 glasses of Prosecco. I feel like an old tramp.
And that provides a very good segue into telling you that was Baby Shambles with You Talk. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music coming into the last half hour of our special Christmas Saturday show. Very Merry Christmas to all our listeners. And we've been giving each other presents. I just gave Adam a terrific present, even though I say it myself. But I'm a little disappointed that the electronic Deal or No Deal pocket game, which I've just given him, doesn't make any noises and doesn't have any batteries.
We had to go and have a little hunt, not only for batteries, but for a Phillips screwdriver to get the battery cover
and
off.
This is a warning from history, similar to the one the BBC gave you about the Nazis. Mm-hmm. Was that the BBC? It's actually dissimilar, but same kind of words used.
It contains a warning.
It contains a warning. Do have spare batteries and a whole range of different screwdrivers ready for Christmas Day.
Absolutely. In fact, wouldn't that be nice? Make the first gift some batteries and a
Christmas backup pack.
Exactly. For Dad.
For Dad, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
And Mum, she could have a scented candle. Because mums love that kind of thing.
Mums do.
Then she'd have a special bar.
Exactly.
So here we go. We're going to play. We're going to review the Deal or No Deal electronic
switching on
game.
The machine.
We will remind you that many other electronic games are available, but this is the one that happened to be on sale.
Now, first thing that I'm noticing here is that the display for the Deal or No Deal electronic game is not backlit.
It's not illuminated, so you do have to play it with a bright light
with
source.
With bright sunlight.
Yeah. And so let's go. Let's play the game. Let's play it like a proper game of Deal or No Deal. You've been randomly selected. So come and take your seat, Adam.
Thank you. Have you
brought some little photos with you of members of your family?
Yes, it is a photo of my wife, Graham. And this is a photo here of my first dog called Barbara.
And how much money are you hoping to win?
All of it. The full whack.
The
£2 million.
It's only a quarter of a million, I'm afraid.
You what?
It's only a quarter of a million.
A quarter of a million?
Yes, £250,000.
All right, then, I'll have that.
What will you do with that money if you win it?
Spend it on the flying.
Spend it on flying?
Yes, I want to fly around.
What, in a plane?
Yeah.
Flying lessons?
Fly, just in a plane. I want to go back and forth.
Okay, there we go. So, welcome to the Dream Factory.
Thank you.
You've taken your seat in the crazy chair.
Yeah.
Stand by East Wing, stand by West Wing.
What do I do first?
Pick a box.
Okay, I'm picking box 10.
He's picked box 10, and now let's just fast forward through the game. Presumably we don't have to deal with all of Noel's ramblings and mutterings.
I'm picking another box now, box 18.
So box 10, the first box you pick, it doesn't matter, right?
That's the one you've chosen. That's the sum of money you've selected.
Oh, my Lord, I just picked that at random. I didn't even
That's all right. Well, what's the difference? What logic could you possibly use? That's the thing about Deal or No
true.
Deal. There is no logic.
Absolutely true.
It's pure luck.
Right, I'm picking box 2, number 18 I'm going for.
Right, this game is going to continue while we hear a track that I've chosen. It's a free play. It's by Vince Guaraldi. This is the music that was used on the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
1p!
It was also used on the Royal Tenenbaum soundtrack. That's good. It's a blue number.
That's a good
one. Blue, 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 blue.
We're going to pick another box now just for the song. Picking number 2.
What have you got?
Oh. £200.
That's not bad. Is that a blue?
No.
Can you tell what the colours are?
It's a red.
No. This is not a very good game, is it? Splendid stuff. Vince Guaraldi with Christmas Time is here.
featured in Charlie Brown and also on the soundtrack of The Royal Tenenbaums. You join us at the climax of our present giving fiesta we've had here on our special Saturday Christmas show. I gave Adam the Deal or No Deal electronic game just now, which has disappointed us. It didn't come with batteries. You needed an obscure screwdriver to open it. The keyboard is not illuminated. It makes no sounds. And it says in the box it's for one or more players. But how can more than one person play that?
Well, one person could deal with the banker, and the other person could deal with the boxes.
The banker's automatic, though.
Yeah, but it's a lie.
The covers for the packaging's full of lies. Mm. That's merely my opinion. But Adam downed his last three boxes, right?
Yeah.
What sums are left on the board?
I've only got, 15 grand is the most I could win. 10 grand, 5 grand, and 1 pound.
15, 10, 5 grand, and 1 pound.
Yeah.
That's not so good, is it? What, 10 pounds?
What?
For 10,000 or £10?
10,000 quid.
10,000. So you've got, you've still got two reds and
five
two
grand,
blues.
10 grand, 15.
So go on, open them boxes.
All right, I'm opening box 4, no.
What's inside it? Good luck, good luck. Blue, 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 blue.
5,000.
5,000?
I've only got three boxes left, no. One pound, 10,000.
5,000?
And 15,000.
Ah.
I'm going for box number 1, no.
Blue, 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 blue. Is this good radio?
Oh, 10,000, no.
It's very popular television. Surely it's good radio.
I've only got one box left.
Thousands of retired people are tuning in as we speak, magnetically drawn to
no,
the Deal or No Deal.
I've got my own box.
You've got two boxes left.
I got my own box. Well, and the last.
How can you just have one box left?
No, I've got my own box and the last
okay,
box.
Okay, so what's the...
The last box is number 3.
What are the two sums left on the board?
£1 and £15,000.
Well, that's still a life-changing sum for someone like you.
The banker's offering me £7,501.
£7,501. What are you going to do?
I'm going to play no.
You're gonna not accept the offer?
No, I don't accept
it. No, hang on. Deal or no deal?
No deal.
There you go. Ooh.
Go away. Right. Please open box number 3. Or my own box. Which one shall I open?
You've got open your... If you're not taking the deal, then you open your own box, don't you?
No, I can choose. I don't know.
No, open the one that isn't yours, actually, first. Right?
Okay.
No, I don't understand the game.
Isn't...
I've watched it so many times. I've forgotten it.
Well, I opened... I don't understand what's happening. I opened box number 3 and it's the 150,000.
Really?
No, it's the 15,000.
It's the 15,000.
Please,
I'm
going to
smash
it. I smash it.
We always smash something at Christmas.
Listen to this.
Smash it on the edge of the desk here.
Oh, really?
This is the Deal or No Deal electronic game.
I'm actually going to smash it, am I?
Yeah, smash it. Of course you're going to smash it.
It's quite sturdy.
Smash it.
I'm worried it's going to break
smash
the desk.
It.
Here we go. Listen.
Hard.
Oh! Flipping it.
Wow. I had to protect my eyes from that. The stamp on it.
Hang on.
Oh, this is terrible.
It's hurting
some
the
child
desk.
Might like that.
I've smashed the display. Look at the display. That is dangerous,
it's
man.
Wonky.
It's glass they've got on here,
it's
not
glass,
plastic.
It's full of chemicals. This game's a death trap. That's our opinion, not the opinion of the Big British Castle. Other electronic games which are death traps are available. We've attempted to smash it. It's leaking toxic fluids. Adam's right hand is melting. He's blind in one eye. There you go. Ideal gift for all the family. Here's a bit of Prince. This is a Christmassy song if you live a dirty life. It's called Get Off. That was the Purple Prince with Get Off.
Get Off Me. How many 52 positions in a one-night stand?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
I've got more.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've only got one.
Really?
Yeah. Standing up.
Standing up by the door.
By the door, asking yeah. to be let in.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, coming up towards the close of our special Christmas show. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. It's been a present-giving fiesta here. I've still got one more present.
We were just imagining during the filthy Prince music there that almost certainly someone out there in Big British Castle Land will be...
disgusted at the fact that we smashed
a
one
thing.
Of the presents, but we were angered by the Deal or No Deal electronic game. It violated several rules of presents. I need not recap, but it, you know, the batteries and the screwdriver. And
but
the...
here's what we're going to do. Even though there's no reason why we should, we're going to give the money that Joe paid for that game
to HMV.
To HMV. A little,
I already did.
To a little thin boy with acne at HMV who works behind the counter there.
That's me.
And he needs that money. Okay, so that's what we're going to do to make it right.
Okay.
Now, here's the last present. This is a present from myself to Joe Cornish. He's already correctly surmised that it's a DVD. But
this is that rattle.
Is,
that's a rattle of a DVD.
Will he have it already?
almost certainly. What do you buy someone like Joe Cornish?
Who I've got thousands of DVDs.
He's got thousands of DVDs. What could you possibly get him that he hasn't seen?
Didn't know existed.
Now, I think maybe he has seen this.
Is this a proper present?
Yeah.
Is it a joke or is it a real...
A little bit of both. But...
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I sometimes like to do with presents? Mm. I like to close my eyes and unwrap them and then hold it in front of my face.
Do you remember last year I got you?
My eyes closed.
Do you remember last year what I got you?
So excited. I can't remember.
I got you a dirty DVD.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Mm. But it was art dirt. The worst kind of dirt there is.
I don't think I... Oh, yes, you got me Nine Songs.
Nine Songs.
I still haven't watched it.
Have you? I'm not surprised.
No, I kind of want to watch it, though.
So, this year I've got you...
Oh, no. You know what? Now, this is a Christmas quandary. This is a genuine Christmas quandary.
She's got it. She's got it.
Shush, don't listen to this, Adam. Listeners, I've got this one. What do I say? Do I tell him I've already got it?
Listeners, if he's got it, the best thing to do is give it right back to me.
Oh, really?
Because...
Or should I lie? I'm gonna lie.
Listeners, don't tell Joe.
Brilliant!
No, listen.
Oh, Districted, the dirty compilation art film with short films by Larry Clark and Gaspar Noé and Matthew Barney. Oh, thank you. I don't have it.
Oh, great.
I do not have it.
Oh, cool.
I don't have it.
Listeners, don't tell Joe. But I just picked it out of my own shelf of DVDs before I left the house. I bought it a few months ago, and it's such rubbish. I just thought I'd give it to him, and I didn't care.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
So I'm hoping he's going to give it back to me now.
That's terrific.
Listeners, don't tell Adam, but I'm just going to rewrap it and give it to Ben, the producer, because he looks a bit lonely. Like he might need some company over Christmas. Hey, who's this?
It's Big Audio Dynamite with Medicine Show.
Enjoy. And folks, incidentally, thank you so much for sticking with us for our Christmas party here on BBC Six Music.
Yeah, you know, we really appreciate everyone who's listened, and we'll be back with you after Christmas. Have a terrific Christmas day and all that business.